Okay, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on the bottom of Samach Dalet Amud Bet. The Mishnah begins, Olat Ha'of, Ketzad Nasi. When it comes to the Olat Ha'of, how are they done or how are they processed? We started a little bit with Chatat Ha'of, now we have Olat Ha'of, and through the two of them, the Gemara is going to clarify exactly how they are processed on the Mizbeach. Alan Lekevesh, Upan HaSoveiv. So he goes up the ramp and he turns off to the Soveiv. According to Rashi and the Balei Tosafot, there is a ramp to the Soveiv on the right side. Valo the Keren Dromit Mizrachit, and he comes to the southeastern corner. Haya Molek et Rosha Mimul Arpa. Over there he does the Malika, opposite the back of the head, which means down towards the neck from the back. Umavdil, and then he separates. According to the Rambam, Umavdil means literally he separates the head away from the body of the bird. Whereas if you look in Rashi, it says Umavdil b'shnei simanim. As opposed to the Chatat Ha'of, which only requires one siman, the Olat Ha'of requires two simanim. Rashi doesn't indicate whether you have to separate the head or not. From the Mishnah and the Braita in the Gemara, seems like the head is somewhat separated, but you could still explain it even without that. Umitzai damal kir mizbeach, and then you press the Ola against the wall of the Mizbeach, for the blood to come out on the wall of Mizbeach. Natalat Rosh, Ve'ikif Beit Mnikato LeMizbeach. He takes the Rosh, for the Rambam, which is completely separated. He takes that head, he pushes where you made the cut in the head against the wall of the Mizbeach as well. Then V'savgo Memelach, and then he wipes it on the salt. So Rashi says, Avir Mekancho Memelach, he puts it onto the salt, or wipes it on the salt that's on the Rosh HaMizbeach, because of the requirement, V'chol Korban Minchatcha Memelach Timlach, the requirement that anything goes on Mizbeach has to have salt put on it first. So there is a pile of salt that's found at the top of the Mizbeach, so he wipes it on that salt, simply to accomplish, or to fulfill the obligation to salt the item before it's placed on the Mizbeach. Others say that they soak it in salt, meaning that they try to get the salt to absorb into the head of the bird. V'zarko al-gabe yishim. And then you throw it onto the pyre that's up top there. Uba lo l'guf. Then he returns back to the body of the bird. V'sir et mor'a ve'et notza. He takes out the crop and the feathers. Ve'et b'nei ma'ayim hayotzim ima. And the innards, the entrails, they come out along with it. We'll see in the Gemara Machloket about what exactly comes out. Yishlecham lebeit adoshin. This is what we discussed yesterday, that they throw it from that point on the southeastern corner to the Beit HaDoshen. This is what gets thrown from there. Shisa v'lo hivdil. After this, he pulls on the two wings of the Olat to split it, but in a manner that lo hivdil, that it does not separate. Here, there is a machloket amongst the Rishonim as to the question as to whether lo hivdil is a lav, and therefore if you do it, you're in violation of a lav, or simply lo hivdil means you do not need to separate it. If it separates, it's not an issue, but you don't need to separate it, and that's what the lo hivdil over here is. So Rambam reads it as being simply a dispensation to say that you don't have to go as far as ripping it apart, but not that it's a lav. On the other hand, the Bahag and his minyan mitzvot counts this as one of the mitzvot, a lav, that you may not separate it. Vim deal, if you do separate it, kasher, it's still kasher. Sof goba melach, vizarko al gabe yishim. Then he, again, puts it into the salt, according to Rashi, wipes it into the salt, and then he throws it onto the pyre. Lo yisir hamor'a velo anotza, ve'et b'nei ha'ma'ayim ha'yotzim imam. If he didn't take out the crop, he didn't take out the feathers, and all the entrails that come with it, velo savgo b'melach, or he didn't dip it into the salt, ko sheshino ba me'achar shemitza dama k'shera. Anything where there was a change after the mitzvah adam, which is the ikar part of the korban, it's the equivalent of the zrikat adam, that takes place by Be'ema, then it's Kshera. Because it's all post the major kapara, or the major avoda of the bird. Anything afterwards is the mitzvah, but not le'akev. Now, hivdil b'chatat, velo hivdil b'ola, pasul. This is what we noted before, that if you do have the la by the chatat, then you are in violation of that instruction, and you actually fail. And so Rashi says here, hivdil b'chatat, mikatash cholek shnei simanim. That you actually went through the two simanim. Vice versa, with regards to the ola, if you only did a malika with one siman. So again here, Rashi focuses the Havdalah on the issue of one siman and two simanim. The Rambam really focuses the Havdalah on the separating of the head from the bird itself. But here, if you change the chatat to the ola, or the ola to the chatat, it is problematic in terms of the necessity for one or two simanim, respectively, for each of these korbanot. Mitzah et dama rosh, velo mitzah dama guf. If he squeezed out the rosh onto the wall of Mizbeach, but he didn't do that for the dam haguf, psula. Dam haguf, alo mitzah dam harosh. The other hand, if he does the mitzvah for the dam aguf, but not for the dam arosh, kshera, because that's the major part of the dam, is the guf itself. The rosh is only secondary to that, mitzvah, not the akev, and therefore the korban is kshera. Chatatov shemalaka lo shelo lishma. Chatatov that he did melika on it, shelo lishma. Remember, this is a chatat. And as we know from the first mishnah in the Masechta, when you do a chatat shelo lishma, it is psula. And that's true both by a chatat beima and a chatat of. So over here, the chatat of shemalaka shelo lishma, that is psula, as well as mitzah dama shelo lishma. Or if you do the mitzuya dam shelo lishma, lishma bishelo lishma, o shelo lishma bilishma, whether it is partially lishma, partially lo lishma, or partially lo lishma, but lishma, pasul. All of those are problematic. Similarly, this is very similar to what we saw at the Behemoth, and we discussed all the machlokot there earlier in the Masechta, but the first sequence was a case where in each avodah you had a different machshava, one machshava lishma, one machshava shelo lishma, and then the second sequence here is even with a single avodah, if you had partially lishma, partially shelo lishma, all these cases for a chatad it is pasul, because a chatad has to be done lishma. Olatov, in the case of Olatov, it is kshera, ubavaj lo ata lebalim l'shem chova. Similar to a behema, outside of the chatat and the Pesach obviously doesn't come as a bird, but chatat behema, and here like the bird that is brought as a chatat, both of those shelo lishma are psula. Any other korban that is brought is not psula, it is kshera, but it's lo ata lebalim. They don't discourage the obligation of the balim. Nevertheless, it is a kosher korban. Echad chatat of, echad ulat of, shemelakan v'shemitza daman lecho, davar shedarko lecho, v'laktir davar shedarko laktir chutz limkomo, pasul v'ein bo karet. Again, this is parallel to the Mishnayot that we saw with regards to the behema, and the remainder of the Mishnah here is identical to the Mishnayot that we saw with regards to behema here, but here just applying it to the of. So it says here, if it's an, whether it's a chatat of, or whether it is an olat of, then if you do the melika, or you do the mitzah daman, lechol, to eat something that's normally eaten, or to be maktir, something that's normally muktar. Now over here, with regards to olat of and chatat of, it's either, it's one or the other. In a chatat of is eaten entirely by the Kohanim, nothing goes on the Mizbech, and the olat of completely goes on the Mizbech, it's not, nothing is eaten by the Kohanim. So when we say darkol aktir, darkol aktir means an olam, and darkol echol means a chatat. So if you had a machshava there to eat or to place it on the mizbeach chutz limkomo, outside of the location that is permitted to do such a thing, then like as we know, pasul ve'en bo karet. Chutz lizmano, on the other hand, if you had a machshava of chutz lizman to eat it outside of its man or to be maktir it outside of its man, pigul v'chayvin alav karet. That is the classic case of pigul. That is found in the Mishnah, that's a classic case of Pigol Zman, which they lands you with the Chiyuv Karet if you consume it. O Bilvad, with the qualification, Shiyakriva Matir Kemitzvato. So the same proviso that we had by the Behema you have here, is that the remainder of the Korban has to be done properly in order for the Pigol to take hold. Ketzad Kareva Matir Kemitzvato. How do we see that, or what's an example of that? Malak Bishtika Umitza Adam Chutzlizmano. Does the Malika silently, without any Machshava? Then he has a machshevet chutz lizmano by the mitzat adam, or vice versa. Shemalak chutz lizmano, he did mlika with a machshevet chutz lizmano, mitzat adam b'shtika, and he does the mitzvah adam silently. O shemalak u'mitzat adam chutz lizmano, or he has a machshevet chutz lizmano in both of the avodot. Zehu shekarevam hamatir kemitzvato. And that's koveya, the bird, the olatov, or the chatatov to be pigul, and then have a chiyuv karet associated with it. Ketzad lo karevam hamatir kemitzvato. How can you have a machshevet chutz lizmano that doesn't result in pigul? That's if you have another machshava mixed up with it that is a machshevet psul. Malak chutz limkomo. If he did the melika with the machshevet chutz limkomo and mitzah adam chutz lizmano, then he does the mitzui adam with the machshevet chutz lizmano, or shemalak chutz lizmano umitzah adam chutz limkomo, or vice versa, as a machshevet chutz lizmano up front, but then the avodah mitzat adam he does with a machshevet chutz limkomo. O shemalak u'mitzah adam chutz limkomo, or if he did both malika and the mitzat adam chutz limkomo. So in those cases, they're all going to be pasul v'ein bo karet, because it's not karet v'matir k'mitzvato. You have another machshevet psul involved in the processing of the korban. Chatatov, and then uniquely with chatatov, shemalako shelo lishma, that if he does the malika shelo lishma, which we know by chatat is psula, umitza adam chutz lizmano, and then afterwards has a machshevet chutz lizmano with regards to the mitzat adam, oshimalak chutz lizmano, or up front he has the malika with machshevet chutz lizmano, umitzadam osh lolishma, and then he has a machshevet shlolishma, the mitzat adam, oshimalak umitzadam shlolishma, or he does both of them shlolishma, zeu shlokareva matir kemitzvato. That's a case where the remainder of the item was not processed properly, and that failure in the other items makes it pasul, but no chiyuv karet, because it never reaches the point of pigul of chutz lizmano. Now, le'achol kezayit b'chutz, kezayit de machar, kezayit b'chutz. So if he has a machshava to do a kezayit outside and a kezayit tomorrow, or a kezayit tomorrow and a kezayit b'chutz, in this case, there's a machloket amoraim, which we saw before with regards to the Mishnah by Behema, as to whether the kezayit b'chutz and kezayit machar is a different case than the previous cases, or is it the same case? It was machloket Rabbi Yochanan and Ilfa. The maskanat ha-gemara seems to be along the lines of Rabbi Yochanan, which is that in the first scenario we're talking about different avodot. So therefore, the machshevet chutz lizmano and chutz limkomo happens in two different avodot. And this section of the Mishnah is happening in a single avoda. In a single avoda, you have machshava to have a kezayit b'chutz or kezayit machar, or kezayit machar v'kezayit b'chutz. So that's the chiddush of this part of the Mishnah. On the other hand, for Ilfa, who says this is also speaking about a case where it's two avodot, then the chiddush here is just a lead-in to the next piece of the Mishnah. This is just a setup to get you to the next case of the Mishnah, which is kechatzi zayit b'chutz, or kechatzi zayit machar, if he has a machshava of a chatzi zayit of chutz limkomo and a chatzi zayit chutz lizmano, or vice versa, kechatzi zayit machar, kechatzi zayit b'chutz, he first has a machshavet chutz lizmano and a chatzi zayit, and then he has a machshavet chutz limkomo and a chatzi zayit, pasul ve'ein bo karet. So here you have a number of halachot. First of all, it is pasul. The two chatzik zeitim are mitzdareif, and they're mitzdareif only to make it pasul, but not to give you a chiyuv karet. So there, even though one is a machshevet chutz limkomo, one is a machshevet chutz lizmano, since they derive from the same pasuk and the same source, we learned earlier in the Masechta that they can be mitzdareif, at least to make it pasul, not to give you the chiyuv karet. So now for Rabbi Yochanan, that would be even within a single avoda, or whether it's one avoda or two avodot. For Ilfa, it'd only be when you have the makshava in two different avodot. That's what we're speaking about here. But those two chatzik zeitim are mitzdareif to make it pasul. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, similar to what we saw by the Behema, Rabbi Yehuda makes the same comment over here. Ze aklal, this is the principle. Ir makshavet hazman kadma le makshavet hamakom pigul v'chayavin alav karet. If the makshavet Zman, which is the pigul that generates the chiyuv karet, if that was the first makshava that you had, then it's pigul v'chayavim and karet. That is koveyet the chutz lizmano. And even if you have a makshavet chutz lizmano afterwards, it doesn't change the fact that it is now pigul with the chiyuv karet. The other hand, makshavet amakom kadma the makshavet has zman. If the makshavet chutz lizmano preceded that of chutz lizmano, pasul v'ein bo karet. It's pasul without any karet. Here again, we had a machloket amoraim as to whether Rabbi Yehuda's position is only in two different avodot, or is it even within a single avoda that he says this? And that's because he subscribes to the position of tfos lashon rishon. Whatever you say first is binding, and therefore even within a single avoda, he would believe that his position here is correct. Chamim omrim, chamim disagree and say, b'zeh b'zeh pasul v'ein bo karet. They're both psulim with no karet. Chamim here seemingly are identical to the Tanakama. That's why you can see the brackets over here, indicating that there were Girsaot that did not have this in the Mishnah because of its extraneous nature. But if you go back to the Mishnah on Chavtet Amud Aleph, where we have the same structure with regards to a Behema, also over there, Chamimim Zeb Zeb Pasul Embo Karet, we discussed over there what the Chidushim are with regards to the statement of the Chachamim over here. Rather, Bali Tosfot said that the Chachamim's position is coming to reinforce the fact that the Halacha is like the Tanakama, despite the fact that there are many that believe that the Halacha is Tefos Loshon Rishon like Rabbi Yehuda. So long comes the Chachamim to say that that is the day of the Tanakama, it's not just the Dat Yachid, it's the Dat Rabim, and it overrides that position of Rabbi Yehuda no matter how logical it is. The Chol Kechatzi Zayit, ulaktir chatzi zayit. He has in mind to eat a chatzi zayit, and then to be maktir a chatzi zayit, kasher. That's not a problem. She'en achila v'aktara mitztarfim. Because achila and aktara are not mitztareif. Over here, this seems to be actually completely unnecessary with regards to the olatov and the chatatov, because as we noted before, the olatov ends up entirely on the mizbeach, and the chatatov is entirely eaten by the kohanim. So to have a machshava of achila and aktara are not really relevant by either them, because there's no haktara by the chatatov, and there's no achila by the olatov. So either you have to say that it's just parallel structure to the Mishnah that we saw earlier, and therefore it just brings whatever is true by Behema, brings it by the oaf, even though it's not necessarily relevant by the oaf. On the other hand, you have achronim, like the Svatemed, who want to suggest that the achila and haktara over here are not achilat adam and haktarat amizbeach, but rather, as we saw earlier, you can use the term achila even for the mizbeach. If you express it as achila for the mizbeach or for the eish, then it does work. And so he suggests over here that the achila and haktara are both towards the mizbeach. And what the Mishnah is telling you is that they're not mitzaref, even though he's speaking in both instances about the mizbeach. So it has to be speaking about olat haof. Nevertheless, since you framed it with one verb as achila and one verb as haktara, they're not mitzaref to generate even a psul with regards to this korban, but certainly not for a chiyuv karet of chutz lezmano. Alright, so now the Gemara is going to bring a braita that really goes through all the dinim that are associated with olat ha'of in order to back up basically what we see in the Mishnah, but in a much more explicit form, giving you the background and the psukim that are the derivations for this. So it says, Tarabanan, Vikri Vo. So here they're quoting from Vayikra Aleph by the olat ha'of, where it says, V'im min ha'of ola korbanu la'ashem, V'ikriv min ha'torim obin b'nei ayuna et korbanu. So that's the introductory pasuk, that if you want to bring an oaf, you bring it either from the torim or the b'nei ayuna. Then the next pasuk begins, V'ikriv vo ha'kohen al ha'mizbeach, u'malak et rosho, v'iktir ha'mizbecha, v'nimtza damo ha'kir ha'mizbeach. This pasuk, Tetvav, is going to become a center of what we're going to speak about over the next couple of minutes. So there are a number of verbs here. There's vehikrivo is the first verb. Second verb in the pasuk is malak et rosho. And the third is viktir hamizbecha. And the fourth is v'nimtza damo al kir mizbeach. So here you have vehikrivo, which seems to mean he brings it to the mizbeach. Umalak et rosho is that he cuts the head. He does the equivalent of shechita. Viktir hamizbecha, he places on the mizbeach. V'nimtza damo is that he presses the blood against the wall of the mizbeach. Braita wants to know, vehikrivo, ma talmud omar. Why does it say vehikrivo if it's already known from the previous pasuk that v'imena op ola korbanot l'ashem v'ikriv min ha'torim u'min b'nei nad korbanot? Already it says vehikriv. So why is there another vehikriv over here? The Fisha Namar, because the previous pasuk says vehikriv min ha'torim u'min b'nei yunah, because the previous pasuk uses a plurality when it deals with the birds, it says torim in plural, b'nei yunah in plural, you would have thought that when you bring a voluntary offering of birds, you always have to bring a pair. You can't bring a single bird. Now, the likely reason for that is, when it comes to any of the obligatory ofot in the Torah, they're brought together as a pair. Like, for instance, in the chatat olev yored, you have a chatat beima. When the chatat beima is replaced by the birds, you bring two birds. You bring one bird to olam, one bird to chatat. You don't bring that, then you bring a mincha that replaces them. But you see there, when the chatat beima is replaced, it's replaced with two birds. So you might have thought that's true. Anytime you bring birds, they always come in pairs. They don't come as singles. So that's what tamalomar vehikrivo, that is a singular form of hakrava, comes to teach you. Afilu breda achat yavi al mizbeach. Even a single bird can be brought to the Mizbeach, or can be brought as a Korban la Mizbeach. To teach you that when you are donating, you can bring one bird. You don't have to bring a pair of birds every time that you are giving a voluntary offering of birds. Matam alomar ha-kohen. After it says v'ikrivo, it says v'ikrivo ha-kohen el Mizbeach. Brita says, l'kbo lo kohen. To tell you that a kohen has got to do this avoda, sheyachol, because you might have considered otherwise. Balo dinu, isn't it a logical extension? Uma ben son, when it comes to any of the kodshei kodashim of a behema, that you have to do it in the tzafon, you have to do it in the north, lo kavalo kohen, nevertheless, there's no requirement that a kohen do the shechita. Shechita can be even done by a zar. Oh, shelo kavalo tzafon, on the other hand, a bird, which the Torah never prescribes that has to be done on the northern side, enu din shelo yikvalo kohen, and certainly it should not require a kohen to process it. Tamalomar, that's why the pasuk says, ha kohen. Leave that the word L is not relevant over here. Vikivo ha kohen to tell you the gba lo kohen. to set its standard that by the bird it has to be processed by a kohen. So unlike the shechita that is done by the behema, that can be done by a zar, over here by the malika tov, it can only be done by the kohen. Yocho yumalkenu b'sakin. You would think you'd have to do the malika with a knife. Vidinu, once again, it's a logical extension. Uma im shechita shelo kavala kohen, by shechita, where there's no demand for a kohen, even a zar can do shechita. Nevertheless, kavala kli, you do require a knife to do the shechita, which we'll learn later on in the Masechta from Akedat Yitzchak, we learn that you need a machelet, you need a knife to do the shechita. Malika she kavala kohen, malika that does demand a kohen, enu din she kavala kli, certainly it should require a kli, certainly it should require a knife to do the malika. Tamalomar, kohen, umalak. So that again I noted for you in the pasuk that there are numerous verbs in the pasuk. The first one is vikrivo, the second one is umalak. So what the Braita is saying is vikrivo kohen elamizbeach umalak. The malika is connected back to the hakohen, seeming to imply that that is the source for this malika. V'amar Rabbi Kiva, v'chit alei al datcha, shezar karev v'gabim mizbeach. Why would you think, or why would you even have a hamamina, that a zar should be able to bring it onto the mizbeach? Elamata malomar kohen. So then what's the point of having the word kohen there? Today malika batzmo shel kohen. To teach you that the malika is done by the kohen himself. So now here Rashi claims that Rabbi Akiva is not arguing on the Tanakama, but rather Kula Rabbi Akiva Ka'amarla. All this is said by Rabbi Akiva, meaning that there's a Havamina in the Braita, that the word Kohen comes to tell you that you need a Kohen to process the bird for the Abodot that are associated with the Akrava of the bird. And then along comes Rabbi Akiva and says you don't need a Kohen for that purpose, because it's obvious that a Kohen is processing it, because it says Vikriyo Kohen Elamizbeach. Ela Mizbeach can only be done by a Kohen. Ela Mizbeach, no Yisrael is going onto the Mizbeach to do any Avoda. So by definition, if you're going Ela Mizbeach, then it's going to be a Kohen that does it. So then, why do I have the word HaKohen there? To teach you, HaKohen Umalak. The next verb in the Pasuk is Malak, to tell you that the Kohen himself is the one who does the Malika. And that way, Rashi says there are two stages in the Braita. There's a Havamina stage in the Braita, which is a Kohen comes to teach you that it has to be processed by a Kohen. And then there's a maskana that the HaKohen is not coming to teach you that, because that you would have known anyway or logically. And therefore the HaKohen is coming to teach you that malika should be done by the Kohen himself, not through a kli, not through a knife, rather with the finger or the fingernail of the Kohen. That's the way that Rashi views Rabbi Akiva's addition over here. There are other girsa'ot in order to reconcile this, but if you look in the Shita Mikubetzet Ot Dalit, he explains that there's actually a machloket between the Tanakama and Rabbi Akiva. He says, the Rabbi Akiva milted the Tanakama atale frushe. He's coming to explain the words of the Tanakama. Ella, the difference between them is, the Tanakama itle de mashmaut hakohen mashmatarte. He says, from the word hakohen, you can learn two things out of vikrivo hakohen. The first of which is, that the malika be done by the atzmosho kohen, that he himself has to do the malika with his own finger and not with a knife. Also, to determine that you must do it with a kohen, that the processing of the malika and the oaf must be done entirely by a kohen. Rabbi Kiva itle ta kohen atalemar shetei malika batzmo shel kohen. The only thing Rabbi Kiva learns out of a kohen is that the malika has to be done by the finger or the kohen himself. Aval likbo lo kohen lo itzrich. But to set it the standard that this must be a kohen that processes it, he doesn't need it. Disvorohu, because it's a logical argument below pasuk that tzarich kohen. Even without a pasuk, you would have known it needs a kohen, because of the necessity to approach the Mizbeach, which is only done by a Kohen. So the Shita Mikubetzet claims that the Tanakam and Rabbi Akiva argue about the Mashmaot HaKohen. Kenneth, can you learn two things from that with Tanakama's view? Both the necessity of your Kohen, as well as the fact that it's done by Atzmo Shel Kohen, not with a knife. Whereas Rabbi Akiva believes you can only learn one thing from HaKohen, and that what you learn is the fact that it doesn't need a knife. He has to do it with his own fingernail. And the fact that you need a Kohen is, it's logical or obvious from the fact that you have to go El HaMizbeach. So that, according to the Shita Mikubetzet, there's actually a machloket between the Tanakam and Rabbi Akiva as to the Derech HaLimud. They end up halachically in the same place, which is, it must be done by a Kohen, and it has to be done by the Kohen physically himself, not through a knife. Tosafot points out that even though the Gemara here is making logical arguments for possibly why you would not need a Kohen, or possibly why you would need a Kli, a knife, in the end, it's not really the logical arguments that are precipitating the Havamina, but rather the Hekesh in Zot HaTorah that is mitish kol hakorbanot kulam, and therefore, just like it's true by a behemah that you could have a zar do the shechita and you need a knife, we'd have thought the same things are true by the oaf. And that's what the psukim come to undermine or dispel, is that hekesh that would have come out of that posuk of Zot HaTorah. The Gemara parlays it as a logical argument, but the Zvai Tosfot notes some of them have things that could undermine the logic of these arguments, and therefore, in the bottom line, the reason that we would have thought these things is because of the hekesh of Zot HaTorah. Yochel yomalkena ben lamalo ben lamato. You would think you can do melika anywhere on the mizbeach. Gzez v'kriv akoin el mizbeach umalaket rosho. So it sounds like you go on the mizbeach anywhere and do the melika. Tamalomar umalak v'ktir. So again, I noted a few in the pasuk that there were numerous verbs here. There's hikrivo, umalak, and then v'hiktir. The Gemara is drawing a hekesh between melika and haktara. Ma haktara barosha mizbeach. Just like the haktarat olat of has to be done on the top of the mizbeach. Af melika barosha mizbeach. So too, the melika has to be done on the top of the mizbeach, meaning above the chuta sikra. Umalak, when he does the melika, mimul oref. He does it opposite the oref. The oref is the part of the head that is behind the forehead, meaning that you have the forehead in front. The oref is the other side of the head from the forehead. Mul ha'oref means something that sees the oref. Something that sees the oref is the neck. Basically the back of the neck. That's what we're speaking about, which means mul oref. Hatal omer mi mul oref? O'en ela min atzavar. How do you know that's what it means? How do you know malika is done behind the neck and not from the neck itself? Nemar kan umalak. In our pasuk that we quote over here by the Lata Of, it says umalak et rosho. Ben also v'nemar lahalan. In Vayikra Hey, with regards to the Chatatov that comes with the Korban Olev Yoreid, over there in Pasuchet it says, Ve'otam el-Kohen, v'kriveta shel chatat rishona, umalak et rosho mimul arpo v'lo yadil. You see here, mimul arpo is explicitly mentioned with regards to the Malikat Chatatov in Perkei Pasuchet, Rozez v'lo yadil, which we already discussed in the Mishnah, and we'll discuss again. So that, Gzereshova, or in essence, malak that's found by Chatatov, and the malak that is found by Olatov, malalan mul oref, akan mul oref. Just like by the Chatat, it defines it that way. So to over here, it defines it in that way. Imal halan molek venum abdil. So as we noted in the pasuk by the Chatat, it says, umalak et rosho mimul arpo v'lo yabdil. You're not allowed to do abdallah. Whether it means not popping the head off, or it means not going through the second siman, like Rashi says, Avkan molek venum abdil. So to the Olatov, it would sound like you could have to do malika just like you do it by the Chatat and enum abdil. Tamalomar umalak vihiktir. Again in the pasuk in Perek Aleph, it has these verbs that follow each other, and haktara is the next verb after malika. And so there's a hekesh between umalak vihiktir, ma haktara harosh latzmo vaguf latzmo. Just like by the haktara, each one of these items is done separately. So too with the melika, you are mavdil. You go through all the way through to separate it from the goof itself. So the hekesh that you just drew is premised on an assumption that the daktarat arosh is done separately from the daktarat aguf. So namar, that we know because it says vik tiroto. In the pasuk that we're reading, it says vik rivo kwein hamizbech umalaket rosho. V'hiktir ha-mizbecha, v'nimsa demo akir ha-mizbeach. Those are the verbs that are found there, and it says v'hiktir ha-mizbecha. Later on, at the end of that parshia with regards to Olat Ha'ov, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says, v'shisa uto b'chnafab, rip it by its two wings to split it, lo yavdil, you don't separate it, v'hiktir oto ha-kohen ha-mizbecha, and then he places on the mizbeach, ale'itzim ha-shal'esh, ulahu yishiriach nicholach l'ashem. So that v'hiktir oto already tells you that the body, the goof of the Olat Ha'ov, ends up on the mizbeach. Because there you're pulling on the wings to split it, and then you're putting it on the mizbech. The item that is the antecedent to v'hiktir oto is the goof of the olat ha'ov. Tare tarak ta'guf amura. You say v'hikriv oto, we already know that that goes on the mizbech. Ha'mani mikayim. Then what do I do with the lashon v'hiktir ha'mizbecha that's found in pasuk tet vav? Barak tarak ta'rosh ha'kotu midaber. That tells you that the rosh is put on the mizbech. From that you see that there are two haktarot. There's haktarat ta'rosh, haktarat ta'guf. Each one separately. And then the hekesh between haktara and the pasuk and the melika and the pasuk tells you that which is true of the haktara, that they're separate. So to the melika is mavdil. You separate between them, unlike the instructions by the chatat where velo yavdil, that you may not separate them. So even though we learn the melika or location of a melika from chatat ov, we do not learn from chatat ov the din of lo yavdil, because by ulah we have a separate hekesh which tells us otherwise. Right now the Braita continues to darshan the pasuk, which says, v'nimtza damo. It says there that you press the blood onto the Kira Mizbeach. Right, it says kulo. You have to put all the dam there. Rashi claims the limud is from the fact that it says v'nimtza damo, and not nimtza mi damo. Doesn't say from its blood, it says v'nimtza damo. All of its blood should end up on the Mizbeach. And as Tosafot points out, this is in contrast to the Chatat Of, where we don't have such a requirement, or we don't see that in the processing of the Chatat Of. And therefore he says, Nira de Chatat lo bai damo kulo. That doesn't require the entirety of the dam get on the Mizbeach, as opposed to the Chatat Of, which does, because it has this requirement of Hekip Beit HaMelikah LeMizbeach, that you put the placement of the point of Melikah onto the Mizbeach in order to ensure that all the dam gets there. That's not demanded by the Chatat Of, and for that reason he believes that you don't need Kol HaDam by Chatat Of. Al Kir HaMizbeach, that's the remainder of the Pasuk, Al Kir HaMizbeach, Velo Al Kir HaKivish, Lo Al Kir HaYichal, to put it on the Kir of the Mizbeach, not on the wall of the ramp, and not on the wall of the Yichal. Vezu Zeh, which wall are we speaking about? Zeh Kir HaElyon. It's talking about the upper wall of the Mizbeach. Oino the Kir HaTachton. Maybe it's very into the lower half of the Mizbeach. Vidinu. And again, it's a logical argument. Ma behima shechatata lamalo. When it comes to a behima, the chatata behima is done up on the top of the Mizbeach, because you got to put the dam on the karnot of Mizbeach. Ola talamato. Nevertheless, by a behima, the ola is done on the ground level. That's shtaim shen arba, from the ground level. Of shechatato lamata. When it comes to an of, where the chatat is also done below, in udin shalot olamata, and certainly the ola should be done below, on the lower half of the Mizbeach. Tamalomar, again here, umalak, viktir, vinimtza damo, chitala adatcha, lacha shiktir, choseru mimatze. The reason that it's learned from here is because of the order of the pasuk, which is very strange. It says, vikriva kohen al Mizbeach, he brings it to Mizbeach, umalak et rosho, and then he separates the head away through Malika, viktir amizbecha, and then you put the head on the Mizbeach, vinimtza damo ke Mizbeach, and then you squeeze the blood onto the wall of Mizbeach. How are you squeezing the blood onto the wall of Mizbeach? If it's already on the Mizbeach, it's burning on the pyre. Elo lomar lecha, maktara barosh Mizbeach, af mitzui barosh Mizbeach. Just like haktara is done on the top of the Mizbeach, so too, the mitzui adam is done on the top of the Mizbeach. That's the hekesh that's drawn out there. Even though the mitzui adam takes place before the haktara, the reversal of it in the pasuk has come to teach you that the haktara governs where the mitzui adam has to be done. Just like the haktara is done on the top of the Mizbeach, so too, the mitzui adam has to be done on the top of the Mizbeach. Haketzad. How do you carry this out? He goes up the main ramp, and he turns off onto the smaller ramp on the right side, going to the eastern side, that allows him to follow the Keren Jomit Mizrachit, come to the southeastern corner. Over there he does Malika, which is Mul Arpa, which we learned from the Chatat. Umavdil, and he separates it, that we learn from the Hekesh between Malika and Haktara, just like the Haktara is separate, so too the Malika is a separating Malika. And then you squeeze the blood out of the Of on the wall of the Mizbeach, on the upper wall of the Mizbeach, because that came from the Hekesh between Haktara to Mitzui Adam, as well as the fact that Mitzui Adam is found after Haktara in the Pasuk. If he bends down and does even an Amah below where he's standing, it still would be kshera. You remember, he is standing on the sovev now. The sovev is the walkway that goes around the Mizbeach that allows the Kohen to do a voda that needs to be done on the upper half of the Mizbeach. One of those items was the Chatat Beima. Matnot dam of the Chatat Beima are placed on the Karnot HaMizbeach, Misaviv. And so therefore he goes around the sovev to put the dam on the Karnot. Here too, we noted that when he did the Olat Of, he's standing on the Sovev. On the Sovev, you're at 6 amot high of the Mizbeach. The halfway point of the Mizbeach is 5 amot. That means that being above the Chuta Sikra on the upper level can be anywhere from a Nama below where you're standing until the top of the Karnot HaMizbeach. So that is the 5 amot of the upper half of the Mizbeach. So what is noted here by the Tanakama is that if you bend down and do the Mitzui Adam for the Olat Of below your feet on that Nama between the Chuta Sikra and the Sovev, then it is kshera. Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Amrim, kol atzma in an asit el barosh mizbeach. That's not true. It has to be done on the top of the mizbeach. My benayu. What's the nafkamina? What's really the source of the argument between them? By verova damrei tarvayu usem maracha gabi sovev ikum benayu. The right to break a pyre on the sovev is what's driving their opinions over here. So as far as the pyres are concerned, they're normally done on the top of the mizbeach. That's the location that you would put them. That's their proper location. The question is, platforms that exist on the Mizbeach, There's the top platform, and then below that there's a platform which is the Silveit. The Silveit is only an amount wide because the upper platform sits on this platform and takes up most of that platform that is the Silveit. But how do we look at that platform that is the Silveit? Is that also similar to the top of the Mizbeach, where you have a flat location where a pyre can be placed, and it's deemed to be the equivalent of the top of the Mizbeach? Or do we say that the Silveit is simply a walking area? It's not an area where a pyre can be put. And that is the machloket between them. Machloket is whether you can put a pyre there or not put a pyre there. That has ramifications with regards to the Mitzui Adam. We said before that the Mitzui Adam has to be adjacent to the Haktara on the Mizbeach. It has to be close by. That's how we learned that it has to be done on the upper half of the Mizbeach. So over here, what Rabbi Nechemiah and Rabbi Lezer Ben Yaakov are pointing out is, if you can't put a pyre on the Soveiv, then if you go below your feet and do the Mitzvah Adam for the Lato below your feet, you're nowhere near the Rosh HaMizbeach. You're nowhere near the Makom that's called Hatara HaMizbeach. And the requirement is, because of the Hekesh, to have the Melika and the Mitzvah Adam be done in the same location where there is the Haktara is done on the Mizbeach. And the Haktara is done on the top of the Mizbeach. And therefore, the Mitzvah Adam has to be adjacent to that. On the other hand, the Tanakamo believes you can put a pyre on the Soveiv. It says you can put a pyre on the Soveiv. You can also do your Mitzui Adam below your feet on that Amma that exists between the Chuta Sikra and the Soveiv. And as the Balei Tosafot point out, when you say that it has to be in the same location as Haktara, it doesn't literally mean the same location, it means within an Amma. Now we saw earlier with regards to the Karnota Mizbeach that the Karen is an Amma by an Amma. We said before that you can put it within an Amma of the corner of the Mizbeach. And that means that anything within an Amma is deemed to be similar to that item. And similarly over here, if you have this Soveiv that goes around the Mizbeach, and if you can be Maktir or put a pyre on there, that means it's deemed to be a Makom Haktara. It means within an Amma of that location is considered to be adjacent to the Makom Haktara. And that's the case by the below the Soveiv, which is an Amma. That's considered to be close or proximate to the pyre that is put on the Soveiv, and that would accomplish the Hekesh of the Pasuk, that the Mitzui Adam be done adjacent to where the Haktara is taking place. On the other hand, for Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Nechemiah, who don't allow pyres on the Soveiv, the only location that has a pyre on it is the top of the Mizbeach. That means you have to do the Mitzui Adam adjacent to that, and the Balei Tosafot indicate that according to Rabbi Nechemiah and Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, they would only allow you to do it within an Amma of the top of the Mizbeach. You have to be within an Amma of the top layer of the Mizbeach, which is where the Haktara is done, in order to accomplish the pasuk of the adjacency of the Mitzvah Adam to the Haktara. Now the Gemara continues and says, Balo Leguf. After he processes the head of the bird in the Olat Ha'Of, he comes back to deal with the body of the bird. Tanan Banan. The pasuk says, Perek Aleph in Vayikra, pasuk Tetzayin, v'sir et murato benotzata. He takes out the murato, which the Gemara is going to say, zozefek. That is the crop of the animal. It's the beginning of the digestive tract of the bird. So you have to take out murato, the crop, benotzata, along with its feathers. V'shlichotah, yitzel ha-mizbeach, kedma. You throw it next to the mizbeach on the eastern side. Al-makom ha-doshen, in the place where the deshen is put. And that's what we spent yesterday on the Beit HaDeshen, which is on the eastern side of the Kevesh, that you throw it over there from where you're standing on the southeastern corner. Morata and the Notzata, Ishlikota, you throw them next to the Mizbeach on the eastern side. Yocha Yakdir B'Sakin V'Yitlenu. You would think that you could carve in there with a knife and then remove the crop. Tamalomar B'Notzata. You have to take it along with the feathers. So Notela Tanotza Ima. Benotzata means you have to take the feathers along with it. And the way to accomplish that is not to cut it open with a knife, rather using your fingers or the strength of your hand or the sharpness of the nail of the thumb. You dig into the bird's area where the crop is found and you pull out the crop. But in doing so, you're also going to pull off, according to Rashi, skin and feathers. According to others, just the feathers themselves. And then you throw that to the Beit HaDoshen. Rabbi Yossi ben Chanan Omer, Notla v'notel kurkurbana ima. He takes it out. Not only does he take out the crop, he also takes out the kurkurban, the stomach or the gizzard of the bird. And Rashi over here, Abba Yossi ben Chanan's position is based on the fact that he says the word notza does not mean feathers, but notza means lashon perish, means the refuse, davar ma'usu, things that are disgusting, kimo in echa kinatsu gamna'u. So natsu means to be repulsed by, or the things that are disgusting. And that would imply that it's not just the crop in the gizzard, but it's the entire digestive system that he's pulling out, and then that would make it more likely that he is parallel to the position of the Tanakhama of our Mishnah that we read at the beginning of today's daf, where it says not only do you pull out the crop, you pull out the intestines or the entrails along with it. And then the Ramban al Torah disagrees with Rashi's interpretation of the word notzah over here. And if you believe the word notzah still means feathers, then you would have to explain that taking out the mur'ata is just more expansive than simply taking out the crop. The crop along with other things that come with it, because it doesn't pull out so easily. Maybe Yossi ben Hanan is saying that. He's not just saying the korban being the gizzard or the stomach or the craw, but being the entire digestive system that's pulled out. And then it would be akin to that which we saw from the Tanakhama in our Mishnah. Or it could be that they disagree. And the Tanakhama Mishnah thinks you take out all the B'nai Me'ayim. And Yossi ben Hanan says you just take out the crop and that which is next to it or adjacent to it. The Tanakhama says you don't use a knife. And seemingly Yossi ben Hanan agrees. There's a question, when you open up it from the chest to pull it out, then how much do you take with it? So the Tanakhama says you just pull out the crop. Rabbi Hanan says you pull out the korban with it. Whether you are intentionally doing that and you have to pull it out, or he's saying you can pull out the korban along with it. So that's the difference in the different Rishonim's views as to whether Abba Yossi ben Hanan is identical to our Tanakhama of our Mishnah, where you're taking out the whole intestinal system, or is it that you are just taking out the things that are adjacent to the crop because it's too hard to take out the crop by itself. Then we have a third position here. To pay Rabbi Shmuel Tana, benotzata, benotza shela. You only take out the feathers, kodra b'sakin, you carve in there with a knife, kamin aruba. You make an opening, like a skylight in there. So as opposed to the two positions beforehand where you're doing this by hand and you're ripping into the innards to pull out the crop and whatever else you're going to take with it. So in that case, you're going to cut through with your hand the skin and the feathers of the bird. And that skin and the feathers goes together with the entrails that are pulled out and you throw those to the Beit HaDoshen. Then Rabbi Shmuel says, it says just take out the feathers. It doesn't say take the skin with it. It says just take the feathers. You have to do this in a precise manner. The only way to do that is to carve out with a knife. Go in there, get the crop, pull it out, whatever you need to pull out based on the carve-in, and the feathers in the area where you made the opening with the knife, those go to the Beit HaDoshen. Otherwise, everything else goes on the Mizbeach, including the Or. And nowhere does it say that the skin doesn't go on the Mizbeach, and therefore, the Beit Rabbi Shmuel, they want you to use a knife in order to make it precise and that you don't pull off skin and feathers when you're opening up the area to get to the crop. Right now, the Gemara continues to discuss the Mishnah and the continuation of the Psukim. It says, what do you do with the body of the oaf? It says, shisa velo hivdil, which is, the Mishnah says, if he does the shisiya, which is he pulls on the two wings, in order to split the olata oaf, that's the pasuk says, v'shisa uto bichnafav, lo yavdil, do not separate it. As we discussed before, there's a difference of opinion amongst the Rishonim as to whether that is an imperative, that you may not separate it, or lo yavdil means you don't have to separate it. And then Victiro Torah Kuenam is Becha, which we quoted before. Then you put the goof of the Olat Oaf onto the Mizbeach. So now the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Vishisa, and Shisa Lebiyad. The tearing it or the ripping it apart is done by hand. Because they quote the Pasuk by Shimshon, which is the Yashas Eyu Kishasah Gdi. He ripped it apart the way that you would rip apart a Gdi. And there it's clearly speaking about Shimshon using it or doing it by his hands, because the pasuk continues, "Vatitzlach alav ruach Hashem vayishas eyu kishasagdi umuma ein biyado." Loikid David limo et asher asah. So when he kills the lion or rips the lion apart, it says clearly, "Umuma ein biyado." He has no weapon with him. So the only thing he could have used was his bare hands over here, and not doing it with any sort of weapon or any sort of utensil. And just like over there, shasa is an action done by hand. So to over here, the shisa uto bichnafav is also an action done by hand and not through a utensil. Alright, now the Gemara says, lo yisiret morata. If you don't take out the crop, then it's not ma'akev because it's post the hazat adam. Gemara makes this statement, matnitan de lo Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah is clearly not authored by Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, or it's not attributed to him. The Tanya, I'm Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, shamati shimavdilin bichatat of. I heard that you can do Havdalah by Chatat Oaf. So now, we have a pasuk that explicitly says, Velo Yavdil, that you can't separate out the head from the Chatat Oaf. And now here, you have Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon coming along and saying, oh, by Chatat Oaf, you can also do Havdalah. Now, part of the problem is that we want to separate or distinguish between the processing of Olat Oaf and the processing of a chatato. By olatov, we already learned umavdil. You do separate it. By chatatov, the pasuk says lo yavdil. You may not separate it. So that's the difference between the olatov and chatatov. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon seems to blur those lines by saying that shemavdilim bechatatov. You can be mavdil by chatatov, and then it would make it identical to the olatov, despite the explicit statement in Vayikra Hey, where it says, "Ve'vi'otam el koyim ikriyat hashir lachatat rishona umalaket rosho mimul arpo ve'lo yavdil." Even though clearly he isn't stating that it is a mitzvah, nevertheless he's saying it isn't pasul. And if that's the case, we have to understand Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon's opinion. And aside from understanding his opinion, we also have to understand how it differs from that of the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. So Amar Rav Chista mitzui chatat of me'akev. The machloket between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar Shimon is premised on whether the mitzui achatat, which is the squeezing of the dam of the chatat onto the wall of the mizbeach, whether that is me'akev. If you remember when we discussed the processing of the chatat of, the first thing you do is you allow the blood to go out, hizah, it sprays out of the chatat of onto the wall of the mizbeach down below. And then there's a secondary requirement of mitzui dam. The question is that mitzui adam integral to the matnot dam, so much so that it's me'akev the kapara if you don't do it? Or do we say that it's like a sharia mitzvah? It's the korban of sharia adam that's put on the sodom mizbeach, where it's the mitzvah, the chatchila, but if you don't do it, it's not posel. So to over here, the mitzui achatat is the equivalent of the sharia adam, and it is good to do, it's a mitzvah to do it, but if you don't do it, it's not me'akev. And in doing so, tanakama savar mitzui chatat of me'akev. Tanakama believes that mitzui chatat is me'akev, but came in the mitzui adam ka'avid maseh ola b'chatat. And since you are now doing the havdalah before the mitzui adam, then you have a problem that you're now making this into an ola instead of a chatat. Because while you're still involved in an avoda that is integral to the kapara, which is both azat adam and mitzui adam, you do something that makes it look like you just did an ola tov, which is you went all the way through and you were mavdil. It would seem obvious from this, but Rashi does not explain it this way. The Baalei Tosfot do. Baalei Tosfot would say that it's a case where the Havdalah took place only after the Hazat Adam. But near the Faresh, Kosuv Yazuba Havdalah Shel Achar Hazah. That everything here is an Havdalah that's done after Hazava. A Koldem Hazah. If the Havdalah is done before the Hazat Adam, Kuli Amalo Pligi De Psula. There it's clearly Pasul Damar Kra Lo Yavdil. V'davka Rabbi Shimon Ben Yakim De Lekaman. At the end of the sugya, when say De Lachas Svara, the Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, the Yechol Havdil Kol Shnayim Afilu Koldem Hazah. He's the only one who has that shita, but otherwise, throughout the sugir, all the Amoraim, they believe that there's a problem if you do Havdalah before the Hazah. And then he goes on to explain, V'achi Perusha the Kula Shmaita B'Abinayu. This is the explanation of what the nafkamina is between these two shitot throughout the sugya. And the question is, since mitzui adam is considered integral to the matnot dam, that Havdalah now makes it like olata of, and that's what is posel. Rashi, on the other hand, says that even if the Havdalah was done up front, you're making it look like an olata of, because when you did the Havdalah, that looks like the shchita b'nof. And even though you did azat adam in the interim, but afterwards you do mitzui adam, that's what olata of is, mitzui adam. So now you did everything that an olata of, you did malika in a way that separates the head away from the gulf, or according to Rashi, you cut off both simanim, and then you also, on top of that, you did mitzui adam. Even though there was azat adam in the interim, you still did mitzui adam. That's too similar to an olata of, and that's what makes it pasul. According to the Baalei Tosafot, it's the fact that you did the havdalah in between azat adam to the mitzui adam. That's what makes it look exactly like an olata of. Then you're doing the havdalah, and then right afterwards you're doing mitzui adam. That's all processing that's associated with the olata of. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Savar, mitzui chatat of, lo me'akev, umechateich basar ba'amol. Whereas Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon believes, and we do the chaticha afterwards, then you're just doing chituch basar. So again, for the Baalei Tosafot, that's already post the mitzui adam. So once it's post the mitzui adam, you do havdalah. You're really doing an Havdalah that has no impact whatsoever. According to Rashi, where the Havdalah is being done early on, the lack of requirement of Mitzui Adam makes it that even if you do a Havdalah, you're still doing Hazat Adam first. And since you did Hazat Adam first, you can't call the Mitzui Adam being identical to the Olat Ha'ov because the Mitzui Adam is not even required. And since it's not required, the Havdalah is just a cutting of the Basar. It's not cutting something that's necessary to do it because there's no demand to do it over here because it's only a demand by the Ola. And since Mitzui Adam is not Ma'akev, even if you did it and did the Hazat Adam and didn't do the Mitzui Adam, you would be kasher in terms of the Chatat. and you would not be looking identical to the Olah Tov. And as Tosfot points out, even though the Olah is done up top on the Mizbeach, and the Chatat is done below, that's not considered enough of a Shinui to be classified as being in the wrong location. That's not enough of a Shinui to differentiate them. The action on the bird itself, or the process of the bird itself, is what determines whether it is an Olah or a Chatat, or whether it looks like an Olah Chatat. That's what we're focused on over here, are the primary aspects of the Chatat Tov and the Olah Tov. If you do a Chatat Tov in a way that it looks like an Olah Tov, even though it may not be in the right location, nevertheless, we're going to deem it as if it's a Shinui and it's Posel. Now, why is a Shinui Posel? The Baal Tosfot say by Chatat or Chatat Tov. It says in the Korban Olah Levi'ur, Chatat Hu. So that'll be the Akev. By the Olah, we don't have such a thing, and the Baal Tosfot leave it as a Tzarech Iyun. As to where do we know that by Olah Tov, if you do a change, it has the impact of being posel the Olah Tov. And the Shita Mekubetz in Old Yuzayin adds even more, that Afagav the Bechatat lo sagi below Hazah, uba Olah like a Hazah, even though by a Chatat you require Hazah to Dam, and an Olah you don't, Mikom Akum, Krinan Be Shapir, Masse Olah. It's still called the Masse Olah, Holy Ki Gavna, Kashir Be'olah. Since when you do it in an Olah, that's Kashir for the Olah, then it's enough if you just do the Mitzui Hadam on the Chatat, that it looks like an Olah. And even though before we saw the limo that has to be damo, called damo by the Olah, and obviously by the Chatat that's not going to be the case because you did Hazat Adam already, nevertheless, that's not a problem because the Shita Mekubetz says, I'm going to prove to you further on that that's only the mitzvah to do all the dam of the Olah Tov, but b'diavad, even if you do a portion of the dam, it will suffice. And for that reason, the Chatat can look like an Olah because if you do mitzvah Adam with a portion of the dam of the Chatat, that's enough to make it look like an Olah, because in an Olah, that would have been kasher. Alright, that's the way that Rav Chisda explains the machloke between the town of our Mishnah and Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon. Rav Amar, Shia b'siman sheni bolat of me'akev ikibinayu. It is tarrying or having a delay between the simanim. In Odalov, that's the difference between them. Tanakama savar, Shia b'siman sheni bolat of lo me'akev. Bolat of, even if you delay between the first siman and the second siman, that doesn't ruin the korban. As Rashi notes over here, when it comes to the shechita of a beima, you require two simanim, or at least rove of two simanim, in order for it to be a kosher shechita. Then when it comes to an oaf, you only need a shechita of a siman echad, or rove siman echad, in order for the bird to be kosher. So if the Torah tells you by the olata oaf that you have to be mavdil, according to Rashi, it means take out the two simanim, in order for it to be kosher, and for the Malika to be effective, you only needed to get through one of the Simanim. So that means all the Dinim that are associated with Shechita are only going to apply to the first Siman, not to the second Siman. The second Siman is a Gzeret HaKatuv that it says by the Lotaof, that you are Mavdil, as opposed to the case by the Chatat, where you're not Mavdil. But that second Siman then is not governed by the normal rules of Shechita. Normally in Shechita, if you do a Shia, if you hesitate anywhere along, or you stop during the process of Shechita, that is posel, it makes it into a trefa. So over here, that's not the case, only because we're dealing with a bird. And by a bird, after you're done with the single siman, you've accomplished, quote-unquote, the shechita. Over here, it's malika. And therefore, the additional siman is not something that is a machshir for the bird, but simply, it is an addition that is required by gzerat ha-katuv. And so, if in the processing of blot ha-of, you're allowed to tarry or delay between the cutting of the first siman and the cutting of the second siman, that means that a delay or a tarry makes no difference. It makes it kasher as an olah. And therefore, over here, by the chatatov, if you delay after the first siman, and then only afterwards you cut the second siman, that will still be identical with the processing of olah tov. And that's what it means here. V'avagav d'shia gavin maseh olah b'chatat. Over here, if you delay and tarry between the first siman and the second siman, that doesn't help because that's exactly the way the olah is done. Or that would be kasher b'olah. Now when you're doing that by chatat, you make the chatat look like an olah. Lazar Rabbi Shimon Savar me'akev. He says, shiaz me'akev. You need to do malika straight through. You have to cut both simanim in the first shot without any delay, without any tarrying, because that's the requirement. The Torah says you need two simanim, even though birds in general require one siman. Here the Torah tells you you need two simanim. The two simanim are going to be governed by the normal rules of shechita. That means you got to cut all the way through the two simanim at once. So over here, it came into shia. Here by the chatat, since after you cut the first siman, you tarried a little bit, you stopped, and then afterwards you cut the second siman, the chateich basar ba'amo, the cutting of the second siman would not be kasher by an olah, and therefore now when you cut it, it's like you're cutting flesh, You're not doing anything that has halachic significance anymore, because once you were shoheh, once you tarried after the first siman, you can no longer continue with a halachic melika, because a halachic melika requires you to go through both simanim in one shot without any shihiyah. And as Rashi explains over here, it's impossible to do this without a shihiyah. It's impossible not to have any delay or tarrying between the simanim. You can't have a maseola because the ola requires that there be no shiyah. The reason you must have shiyah here with the chatat is because after the first siman, you also have to cut rova basar. So in order to be a kasher chatat, you would cut one siman, then rova basar, and then only afterwards would you go through the second siman. So that means by definition, in going through the rova basar after the first siman, once you reach the second siman, you're already past the point of shihiyah. And that's why, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, there's no problem of dala at that point, because you're too delayed to have this now look like an olah to'o. That's Rava's explanation of the machloket. Abaye amar rov basar me'akev ikur benayu. Whether the rov basar or the cutting of the rov basar is me'akev is the difference between them. As Rashi notes over here, the kuliyama shia ba'olah siman sheni pasla. That everybody agrees at this point that if you have any tarrying during the two simanim of the olah, that would be problematic. What they're arguing about is, in a chatat, do you require the rova basar be cut after the first siman? If you require that the rova basar be cut after the first siman, then by definition, as we said before, you're going to have a shi'iyah here. And therefore, the chatat can never look like an ola, because you always have to go through the siman, then the rova basar, and then afterwards, you go through the second siman, but that's already too late, because you already had a tarrying between the first siman and second siman, and no longer looks like an olah to'ov. An olah to'ov has two simanim straight without any shiyah, but that's only if you believe that the rova basar is me'akev, the shechita, or really the melika here, of the chatat to'ov. On the other hand, if you hold like the Tana Kama who says that rova basar is not me'akev, then at that point, if you don't need to do rova basar when you do a melikat a chatat, you can then end up with a situation in which you do two simanim, one after the other, and then you don't have to worry about the rova basar because it's not me'akev. That means even when you're processing a chatat, you can end up doing something that looks exactly like an olah without any shia between it. And that's why the Tana Kama says if you're mabdil by a chatat to'ov, you start to look like an olah to'ov, and that's problematic. And even though according to the Tana Kama, technically, if you did do the cut of the rova basar, there'd no longer be a problem, even if you cut the siman. And the Mishnah says that, period, you're not allowed to cut the siman, lo yavdil. The Karen Ora explains that it's because it's gnezeira otu. And that's actually what differentiates between Rabbi Shimon Lazar and the Tana Kama, is that even in a situation where you do the rova basar, according to the Tana Kama, it's still going to be problematic, zera, all through the case where you don't do the rova basar. And even according to the Balei HaTosafot, who say that the Havdalah here is taking place after the Hazal was done, could be a situation in which you did the Melika to one of the Simanim, the Hazal took place, you didn't cut the rova basar, and then you continued on to do the Siman HaSheni. And that might have been problematic because it looks like an olah. Therefore, we're gozer even in a situation where you cut the one siman, then the rova basar, and then go on to the second siman, even though there, according to the Tana Kama, there should be no problem because that's a shihiyah, and then it cannot look like an olah. We're gozer up to the case where you didn't do the rova basar. You did the hazaah with the first siman, and as you're moving through to the second siman, that hazaah takes place. And then you do the havdalah with the second siman. That already is problematic because it looks like an olah. That's how Abai explains it. Uplokta the Rabbi Zeva, Rabbi Shmuel, Bar, Rav Yitzchak. The machloka we have here between Rav and Abai in explaining this machloka between our Tana Kama, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon is identical to a machloka we find between Rabbi Zeva and Rabbi Shmuel, Bar, Rav Yitzchak. Chalamar Shia b'siman sheni bolat of me'akev. One of them says that delaying or tarrying in the second siman in olat of is me'akev ika benayu. That's the difference between them. That was Rava's view before. Chadamar, Rov Basar Me'akev, Ika Be'inayu. The Rov Basar is the nafkamina between them, which is similar to Abaye's view as to what the machloket is. Now the Gemara says, Michlal Debin and the Rov Basar B'tchila. Both according to the Tana Kama and Rav Shimon Elazar, they both agree that Chatchila, you're supposed to cut the Rov Basar after the first Siman. And is that really true that that's the case? Or where do we know that from? In, the Gemara says that is true. Ditanya, or if you read it, Vahatanya, you have to read it as vinichuta. Ketzed mokim chatatov. How do you do melika for chatatov? Choteich shidra umifareket below rova basar. You cut through the spinal column and the nape or the back of the neck, the bones there. Until he reaches the esophagus or the windpipe. Once he reaches the simanim, he cuts one of this simanim, orubo, or the robe of that siman, and then he has to cut through the majority of the flesh in that cutting. When it comes to ola, shnaim, orov shnaim, you have to do both simanim, orov of both simanim. And then it's a machloket rishonim where they have to cut the robe of basar after you do the two simanim by the ola, because you see here that the brayta does not mention that. And the reason you have to bypass the robe of basar in the process of going through the mifereket or the back of the neck is because the Gemara believes if you went through the neck and the robe of basar before you got to the siman, the animal would die, or the bird would die before you ever cut the siman. And therefore you'd never come up with a kosher melika, because the bird would be rendered dead before you ever did the melika. Now, according to the one who says it's not ma'akev, either you have to say that they don't need to do it afterwards at all, or you could say even if they did it beforehand, it would be fine, because even though animal is, in a sense, dead before you ever get to the simanim, that's a gzeirat hakatuv, the melika be done in this way from behind. If you can avoid the robe of basar, that's great, but it's not ma'akev. If you go through the robe of basar, then it's not going to render it pasul. Amru kamei de Rabbi Yirmiya. They brought all of these memorot of the Amoraim before Rabbi Yirmiya, all these different explanations for the machloket between Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and the Tanakama. And Amar, lo shmiluhu had Amar, Rabbi Shimon ben Alyaki, Mishum, Rabbi Elazar ben Peda, Mishum, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. You didn't hear what they all say over in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. That Omer Ayah, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, Shemati bechatat of shemavdilin. That I heard by chatat of that you can be mavdil. Umay lo yavdil. And then what is the explanation of lo yavdil in the pasuk? Ein tzarich lavdil. You don't have to separate it. As opposed to being a command or an imperative, lo yavdil, you may not do it. Rather, it is explained as you don't have to do it. That means if you happen to do it, it's fine. But it doesn't mean that you can't be mavdil. It's just saying that it's not necessary to be yotze over here to be mavdilit. By the Olah, that is an absolute necessity. Over here, it's not a necessity. But if you do it, then it's fine. Now the Baal Yitosafot, Lashita Tam, explained that the difference between Rabbi Yirmiya's explanation from Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim is different or differentiated from the other Amoraim, because all the other Amoraim said that Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon's Deah is only after you've done Hazaah, and then you did the Havdalah after the Hazat Adam. But had you done the Havdalah before the Hazat Adam, everybody would have thought it was Pasul. Rabbi Yirmiya comes along to say, even if you do the Havdalah before the Hazat Adam by the Chatat Ov, it's still not problematic, because Lo Yavdil is not a spoiler in that way. It's simply not a necessity. And so if you do it, you're fine, because you didn't violate anything. All it said is you don't have to do this Havdalah. And if you do it, it's okay. Or, according to Rashi, it's just simply giving the explanation as to why Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, all these cases, says that there's no problem. It's not considered to be a shinoi from chatat when you do the havdalah, or you cut all the way through. That's simply because there's nothing in the pasuk that indicates otherwise. And you don't need to all these other fancy explanations of the Amoraim as to the reasoning behind Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. It's very simple. He just believes the interpretation of the pasuk is it's not necessary to do Havdalah, but if you do it, it's not a shinui. It will not be posel, the chatat. Okay, we're going to stop here by the top line of Samach Vav Amud Aleph.